providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the second half of the KE Report. No politics this time, or very few, if any. Going to talk a little bit about the investment environment, the economy. I'm very concerned about that. I'll tell you why I'm very concerned, but let me first introduce my guest, Rick Ackerman of Rick's Picks. We feature him on the site. Rick is really a good guy. I've only known him for about 30 years. Rick, I went to buy some, people are talking about inflation right now. I went to buy some dog food for my pooch the other day, just a couple of days ago. I just about fell on the floor when they told me how much it was. My price a couple 3 weeks ago was $42 a case. I had to part with $52 this time, which, I mean, we're talking 25%. Is that a comment on inflation? I mean, I asked the woman in the veterinarian facility. I said, "What's going on here?" And she said, "They just raised their prices to us by 25%." Let's start out. Let's talk a little bit about inflation, Rick. It's kind of scary to me. Where are we at right now?
Well, first, Al, thanks for inviting me on. It's always a nice opportunity to connect with your audience.
Thank you.
Concerning inflation, the business with the dog food is interesting. You know, I used to be a newspaper editor, and if I were still working at that job, I'd probably send a reporter out, and I would say, find out why the price of this dog food just increased by 25%. And, you know, my first instinct is that that everybody with something to sell smells blood in the water. You know, we've got this inflation drumbeat going, and this follows a long, long, decades-long period of deflation where what you read suggested that everybody with something to sell was scared to death to raise the price because they knew they couldn't pass it on to customers because there's just so much competition out there for everything. You know, even groceries where the profit margins are under 2 cents on a dollar. So now, you know, the press, the shills in the press are doing the grunt lifting here. And there's such a loud drumbeat about inflation that even the dog food manufacturers are saying, screw it, you know, let's just jack the price to high heaven and see if people will pay it.
Well, let me give you one more example. Okay, I have been for the last couple of months doing my own grocery shopping. Okay, last week, not this last week, but the week before last, my total bill was $83, and that included basically the same things I bought yesterday at the local Fred Meyer store. 83 went to 125, Rick, and I bought virtually the same things.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm seeing it pretty much everywhere I go to. Every little thing that you buy, even when you go to a ball game or something, the prices are way up for everything, especially little items. You buy a pack of Lifesavers and it's $2.
Right.
And but I just it's in a way it kind of reminds me of what happened when gas prices first went above $2 a gallon at the pump and then $3. And I used to write, well, this is going to certainly kill the economy. It did nothing.
Yeah.
It did nothing. And when you raise the price of gas from $3 to $5 in a place like California, you discover it still does nothing. So it means that there's really enough money out there jangling around that people will pay whatever they must for essentials. And at some point, it has to take its toll on the economy if either of two things happen. Number one, wages don't keep up with it. Or number two, we have a collapse in asset values that would come from a bear market in stocks.
Yeah.
But for the time being, the much higher prices, you may feel them, Al, but you're not at the level of income where it's comes down to really hard choices. You just pay it and grin and bear it. But there is a big segment of the economy that really does feel it, and I question whether we can have a continuing run of prosperity if a large swath of the economy is almost literally starving.
Well, I gave three examples, Rick. You know, dog food, number one, in a specialty store. Groceries, number two, in a grocery store that's known for low prices. Gasoline up here, I mean, I've got a car that I have to put unleaded ethyl gas high grade in, you know, and I'm paying a hell of a lot more than I paid last year for that. At least I'd have to say 25%. Now, I want to take this over to income investments, and I want to start out with the government now. Right now, interest rates are pretty low, and the reason they're pretty low is because, purely and simply, if they go any higher, the federal government of the United States of America will not be able to service their debt. When that happens, I think you're going to see a rather serious and loud explosion in the economy. Comment on that, would you, Rick?
Well, it's not just the government that's going to be subjected to that turn of the screw if interest rates ratchet up 25 or 50 basis points. It's literally quadrillions of dollars worth of borrowing that are essentially leveraged or arbed off low interest rates. Mm-hmm. So the federal government's problems are I won't say a small piece, because their liabilities include Social Security and
right.
and the Medicare and Medicaid systems, but you know, the point that I make as a deflationist is that interest rates do not have to rise to cause the chief symptom of deflation, which is an increase in the real burden of debt.
Right.
The same thing can happen if asset prices fall. And that's what we saw in 2007 and 2008. Or you may have had a mortgage payment that was, the interest rate was historically low, but when you saw the price of your home falling by 10% per more than 10% a year,
yeah,
and a lot of homeowners were underwater, that made a 4.5% mortgage a crushing burden.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is coming. You know, we really don't need rising interest rates to literally asphyxiate all debtors, including the U.S. government.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple of questions on that, or a couple of comments, Rick. One of the comments is that it's very, very important to the Democrats. They think they now have and will have into the future the control of America. If we have economic problems, and if the Republicans can put somebody forward in 2000 or whatever the next election is, 2400, I would have to say that the Democrats will probably get booted out of office, and that's why I continue to be optimistic about my investments in the conventional market. They're very important to me, Rick. Obviously, at my age, they're very important to me, critical, but I am kind of comfortable right now in the sense that I think the federal government, they've done some pretty silly things so far, and I think they're going to continue to goose the economy. Rick, I want to talk about this more in the next segment, which we're going to roll into here in just about, 40 seconds. I want to talk a little bit for 40 seconds about your newsletter, Rick's Picks. I've been reading it for almost 30 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, this guy is right on. He is passionate about his newsletter, Rick's Picks. He is very, very transparent in terms of his investments. Rick Ackerman is purely and simply a decent human being, and I'm very, very proud to have him on the KE Report. Quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.